The Braves strike first. Atlanta took one giant step forward, and it hurt. Poor Charlie Morton. What happens in game two tonight? Also, Kemba's big moment and rave reviews for Russell Westbrook. And speaking of rave reviews, did you see what they're saying about the job I'm doing hosting this show? Richard Deitch of The Athletic says, finally, a reason to watch Around the Horn. Andrew Marchand of the New York Post, two thumbs up. Tony Reale cannot be reached for comment.
It's still your last day, Frank.
It didn't happen. It didn't happen. There's no one.
How about a home run three pitches in? How's that for a World Series start? A wire-to-wire win for the Braves last night. But it did come with some bad news. Starting pitcher Charlie Morton, look at this, suffered a broken fibula on a comebacker and will miss the rest of the series, although it didn't stop him from getting another three outs. Now that's toughness. Tonight, it's Max Fried and Jose Urquidy before the series moves to Atlanta. Tim, what was your big takeaway from game one last night?
Remind me, Frank, did someone on yesterday's show say the Braves having a chance to use Soler as a DH?
You're right. You interrupted everyone and said, that's it.
I'm trying to remember.
Sorry, I accidentally gave Izzy points.
Seemed like that happened.
I didn't get anything.
So that home run was big. But I'm going to go with something else, actually. It's the end of the first inning because the bases are loaded and Kyle Tucker's up. And Kyle Tucker's as dangerous as the Astros have. And he hits the ball hard, and Albies makes that great play. Otherwise, it's going to be 2-2, and it could have been a very different night for Charlie Morton and a very different night for the Braves. But Braves are playing infield defense. Credit to Ron Washington, and that was as big a play as they've made.
Izzy?
I mean, Charlie Morton was the big takeaway for me there. I mean, I don't know how many – I'm wondering, first of all, because the first x-ray that they took of him was negative, and he came back out and obviously got hurt and had the broken fibula. I'm wondering if he actually broke it on the second time around, that maybe if they would have pulled him initially, that they would have had him for the rest of the series, but that's a bunch of, you know, who knows.
Dr. Izzy over
but
here.
I do think that that is in itself – like, if you would have said you've gotten Charlie Morton in a couple, 2 1/3 innings, you probably think, oh, wow, we lost that game. Instead, you win that game still, and you've gotten Max Fried, probably the best starter in this series going up next. And so if I'm Atlanta, I'm feeling pretty good. If you go to Atlanta up 2-0, big if obviously, then you're talking about five games to win two. You still have another Fried start and probably have the better bullpen of the two and the more rested bullpen of the two. So if I'm Atlanta, I'm looking at this like, Morton, I know you said you're sorry, but you did your job and we're good.
Kevin, what'd you take away from game one?
Well, it has to be pitching for me, and not just the Charlie Morton injury, but Valdez just blowing up early and forcing forcing his team to have to chase. And then the fact that the Braves were able to shut down the heart of the lineup, really, for the Astros, and Correa, Altuve, and Bregman going 0-for-12. They're not going to win like that. But if the Braves can continue to control them, they've got a great chance to go forward. So to me, once again, it's all about the pitching and really also all about the relief pitching as well, because starters in this postseason have not necessarily been the story as much as the guys who have come in and closed things out.
Woody Page, we got you batting cleanup. What do you think of game one?
Well, I thought the Astros would score more runs, but the Braves did a great job of holding them down with the defensive plays they were talked about, a ball that could have been a home run, an important home run that just barely missed by a few inches. When you also consider, and everybody else has brought this up, but the relief pitching of Atlanta was really more of a story than Charlie Morton because of the job they did over a number of innings to take care of what happened after he was unable to continue. Minter going longer than he has all year long.
Right.
This continuing story of Matzik and what he's been able to do. And then meanwhile, on the Houston side, you got terrible starting pitching. Tonight you have a situation where Houston's going to pitch a guy who hasn't been on the mound in 24 days in a game against Atlanta's best starter. I mean, really, you're sitting here looking at a situation saying this doesn't work for Houston, but I'm not ready to give up on them. I said they were going to win the World Series. I think their bats, which have scored 6.7 runs per postseason game until last night, will erupt tonight in some way once they get to those relievers.
All right, let's get back to the Charlie Morton injury for a minute here. Tim, how much is this going to hurt the Braves for the rest of the series?
Well, I mean, I think it's not as significant as we would normally talk about these things. You know, some of us go back and we think of starting pitchers in a World Series. It's Jim Palmer versus Tom Seaver, and they're going 8 or 9 innings. These guys go 4. So you know, neither team has used its starters more than they've used their bullpen. It stresses them a little. It loses a good pitcher for game five, I presume. But I don't think it's an overriding thing.
Izzy, what about Charlie Morton being done for the rest of the series?
Yeah, I agree. You obviously need to take your hacks at a game five and try to put together the perfect bullpen game, if you will. But for the rest of the series, I mean, if Max Fried goes short in this game two and they need to rely on that bullpen for five or six innings, then yes, it might be a problem. But even then, you're talking about going into a day off before, you know, a travel day and getting back to Atlanta. So I think overall, you're talking about one game where it looks like Atlanta is obviously not going to be in great shape where Morton was supposed to start again. But outside of that, again, they seem to be in perfect shape. The Astros got a couple of hits against those relievers of Atlanta, but overall, not
That's the thing, Kevin. We were going to see Charlie Morton at least one more time, maybe two more times. What about now that he's not going to pitch again?
Well, it is a big deal, but, and you're not using that banned word thing, are you?
No, no.
Because you're not telling
me. Every word
me.
Is good. Good with me.
So, right, thank you. So the narrative for this Braves team has been what? It has been that they lose somebody and they continue to power forward. You know, they lose Acuna and people are like, how can they possibly go forward? And look, they're right here. So I'm sure that they looked at this injury last night and they're going, man, we lose a guy who has been a fixture in the World Series the last several years. We're really counting on him. But this is what we do. Next man up. I know that's a cliche, but I think that's the way they play.
Tony just called in narrative. You get the mute for that. Woody, Charlie Morton done for the series. How does it impact them?
I think it means that they're going to be using their relievers more. Up to now in the postseason, Atlanta at least has had a slight advantage. 49% of their pitching has been by their starters, 46% by the relievers. Look at Houston. It's 57% by the relievers on the Astros and just 45% or so by their starters. So I think you're going to see those statistics somewhat change because Garcia in his last performance, he's going to pitch the next game. He actually came around and developed into a postseason starter.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, though, you're like Billy Bean with some of these numbers you're throwing out here. All right, one last one. Tim, who do you got tonight, game two?
Just the things we've talked about. I like the pitching matchup a lot, even though, again, it's for four innings in favor of Atlanta. And they're on a confident roll. Give me the Braves to get to 2-0.
Izzy, tonight, game two.
Yeah, I like the pitching matchup a lot. And as long as Jock Peterson is wearing pearls, I think the Braves are in good shape.
Kevin?
Why not?
As long as we're going to throw starting pitching out the window, I'm throwing Urquidy's postseason ERA out the window, and I'm going with the Astros.
All right, Woody, give us a simple number here. What is the score of tonight's game? No percentages. What's the score?
7-2, Houston.
Look at that. All right, good for you.
Whoa.
All right. Well, speaking of the series, it's going to go back to Atlanta, which is really in the Cobb County suburbs. The tomahawk chop awaits. Yesterday, Commissioner Rob Manfred was asked about the chop, and quote, this is what he said. Way before this became an issue, Atlanta cultivated a relationship with the Native American community, which was very helpful in terms of making decisions like the two that have been raised. The Braves have done a phenomenal job with the Native American community. For me, that's the end of the story. Kevin, what do you make of this explanation, and is it the end of the story for you?
Well, I hate that explanation where you say that you found some indigenous people who say that they don't have a problem with the imagery of Native Americans in your sport. That just doesn't play. And is it the end of the story? No, it's not. It's not the end of the story because people are still fighting this issue. And not only that, this puts Major League Baseball behind the curve on this, right? Just a few years ago, just a couple of years ago, the National Congress of American Indians awarded Rob Manfred one of its annual trophies for the job that he had done with Cleveland, getting them to retire some of their offensive names and offensive imagery. And now it seems like overnight, he forgot about that and forgot about the work that Major League Baseball did with Cleveland. And so I think they should be continuing to do that. I know that there are people in Atlanta who are still disturbed by this and are going to be working ahead. So this story is not over, no matter what Rob Manfred said yesterday.
Izzy, what are your thoughts on what the Commissioner of Baseball said?
Yeah, KB, and there was also a player for the Cardinals a couple years ago who was a member of Cherokee Nation who complained about it. And so what bothered me about Rob Manfred's quotes is that he essentially made the argument that baseball is a regional sport, and what matters is what those people in that area believe. And that's if you believe everybody in that area is okay with the chop. And I don't believe that's the case, as KB explained. And so it's basically saying, well, if somebody's bothered in Washington State or in this other state, it doesn't matter. Atlanta's got it covered. I think that's nonsense. I think that's downplaying your sport, and I think that's downplaying what you're talking about here, which is people's feelings. And so if there's any reason, it doesn't have to be a major controversy, if there's enough reason to get rid of something because it offends some people, then that's all the reason you need, because there's not an argument for cheering for your team that you need this chop. And so it's a simple decision, and the fact that he's, you know, doubling down and basically talking about his sport in a way that he probably doesn't want to by saying it's basically a regional sport, I don't like any of what he said.
Tim, we see this in college football, we see it in the NFL. What did you make of what the baseball commissioner said?
Yeah, I didn't make a lot of it. Instead of saying we market our game locally, he might have just said we don't market our game at all. Baker Mayfield and Chris Paul have all the commercials.
Yeah, right.
You don't see any of our players out there. But in this case, on the one hand, I'm not much for telling fans what they can't do. I don't really think that works. Just on the flip side of it's like the opposite of telling football players you have to stand for the anthem with toes on the line and hand over your heart. I mean, when you're forcing certain things, I don't think it works. But as Izzy pointed out, when a Cardinals player brought it up a couple years ago, they at least stopped, they stopped emphasizing it.
Yeah.
They stopped trying to encourage the fans to do it. Now they seem to be fully engaged in it, and I think that's kind of unfortunate.
Woody Page?
Well, the Braves saying they engaged with the local Native American community is different when you consider the history of the name. The nickname started in Boston with the Boston Braves, then the Milwaukee Braves, then the Atlanta Braves. And so it has a strong tradition, but so did a name that occurred in Washington, D.C. I don't have a problem so much with the name. Brave indicates strong and strength, but I do think that having a tomahawk on your jersey and with people doing that during the course of the game is unacceptable to me. In regard to Manfred, what he said, they should be marketing the game nationally. They wouldn't be losing to the National Football League so much if they actually promoted their players.
Kevin, let's get you back in here real quick.
Let's just remember, the owner of the Washington football team, Dan Snyder, said never would this name be changed. And guess what? The name is gone. So I put Rob Manfred right in that category at this moment.
It's a complicated issue. It's going to become a big story over the next couple of days. All right. There's the horn. Here's the score so far. Woody, Tim. Tim, you got points because you were sitting in that yellow chair the other day. That's why I gave it to you. Sorry, Izzy. Then I had to take them back. Buy or sell. Next.
Around the Horn is presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Buy or sell, Baker Mayfield practicing today. Kevin Stefanski says Baker will get starters reps, updating us on his torn labrum and tuberosity fracture in his non-throwing shoulder. Baker says rest helped and that he notices a difference in his range of motion and strength. with Sunday's game against the Steelers bearing down on him and TJ Watt ready. Woody, buy or sell Mayfield being a big enough upgrade over Case Keenum and making it worth the risk?
I'm somewhere in between, really, because I think if he makes the decision with the medical staff and with the coaching staff, unlike a week ago when he said, I'm the one who makes the determination here, and then he backed off from that, I think that he shouldn't play, though, because Case Keenum did a good job against the Broncos. I know they're not any good, but he's going to be facing T.J. Watt, who is averaging one sack per game and has three forced fumbles. Do you really want to put him up against Watt?
Such a big analytic guy. I thought for a second you were going to say, I own you. Tim, what about Baker this weekend?
No, this is a big boy game. This isn't the Broncos. This is the Steelers. You got to get Baker out there.
Good trolling.
If you can. The Browns ran the ball last week pretty well anyway, and now they're going to get Nick Chubb back. Baker knows how to hand off.
Izzy, make up some ground here. What do you got?
Yeah, I mean, why do you need him to hand it off? It's because it's a big boy game that I don't want Baker in there just because he says he's got a little bit more range of motion there. Like, these games are going to be physical. I don't care how much he's handing it off. So, no, I'd keep him out of there. It's not like they're in a desperate situation, win or out of the playoffs. No, they're in good shape. Keep your franchise quarterback safe. Don't put him out there to the wolves.
Kevin, what are your thoughts on Baker Mayfield playing this weekend?
Yeah, don't play him. I'm totally with Izzy on this. I mean, that's a painful injury. I mean, just a week ago he said he couldn't move. It was too hurtful. If he wanted to play on a short week, he wasn't going to be able to do that. Case Keenum got him by. Case Keenum can hand the ball off too. Run that play.
That was brilliant. Izzy's a doctor, and Kevin second the opinion. I like that. All right, Lakers in overtime without LeBron last night, and they win. LeBron's not going to play tonight either in OKC, but come on, this is all about Russell Westbrook and what he did in LeBron's absence. 33, 10, and 8, plus he scored 15 points during the fourth quarter in overtime, which of course leads to the questions about Russ thriving without LeBron. Tim, is Russell Westbrook's big night without LeBron a big deal to you?
It's nothing new to me. I mean, we saw him win an MVP after Durant left Oklahoma City. We know he's great when he's the only star. It's when he has to be a complementary player to LeBron and Anthony Davis and shoot three-pointers that he's not as effective.
All right, Izzy, you know all about LeBron down in Miami. What about this with Westbrook playing without LeBron in the lineup?
Well, I thought the big news is LeBron's outfit there because it was clean. But no, I think this is exactly right. Like, Russell Westbrook can do this when he has the ball in his hands. He also happened to have an efficient night. Now, he's not going to do this every time if LeBron or AD is out or if he gets the ball in his hands a lot because he can be an inefficient scorer. But this is what he's capable of. He is a former MVP. He's great, and people want to, you know, make it sound like he's not all this. He can still do this. Do you want him off the bench so that maybe he can do this more often and not be at the same time on the floor with LeBron James? That's a whole different question. But I think, as it is, this shouldn't be a surprise.
Kevin, the Lakers without LeBron, but with Russell Westbrook running the show.
Well, I think it's a big deal in this sense that you've got a big three there, so we've been told, and here's a chance for a big three, one of the big three, to lead the team to victory when one of the other big three can't be on the floor. And so I think that, in that sense, Westbrook is very valuable to this team.
Woody Page?
I think Vogel needs to figure out how in the world he can play three players but only put two of them on the court at the same time. I mean that seriously. I think if Westbrook would accept a John Havlicek role, Havlicek became a top 75 player by coming off the bench as the sixth man and being stronger and better than the five guys that were primarily on the court to begin the game.
Man, you all over the numbers today. All right, Izzy, thanks for playing along. Tim, you did a good job predicting the World Series.
Did I mention I called Soler's home run?
All right, look who it is in the showdown. Two old-timers. When I was coming up in the business, they were young guys. So was I. Showdown, next.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
the Horn is presented by DirecTV Stream, part of Happy Hour.
All right, you know I couldn't host another show without getting the Knicks in here. A huge win last night over the Sixers with Kemba Walker electrifying the guard. He called it, quote, the kind of moment I dreamed of when I was a young kid. Woody, how big was the moment?
Great for him, good for the Knicks. They broke a 15-game losing streak against the 76ers. Combining him with Randle and with Fournier, I think this gives him a good touch with that 3-1 start.
Well, you know, he grew up in New York, and who among us didn't want to play for the team we grew up rooting for in our hometown? So good for him. Although I got to say, when he was growing up, the Knicks really weren't that good. They were a big disappointment, heartbreakers as far as I remember.
I love listening to Woody praise the Knicks. Nothing better. Carly Lloyd ended her career with the U.S. Women's National Team last night. Lloyd's accomplishments are too long to fully list, but I'll summarize. 2 gold medals, 2-time World Cup champ, 2-time FIFA Player of the Year, a hat trick in the World Cup final, and she's from New Jersey. Kevin, how will you remember Carly Lloyd?
134 goals, third most on the women's team in history. But I'll also remember because she stood up for equal pay with Hope Solo for as long as they were together. And Hope Solo reminded me of that,
Kevin,
in my class this
morning. I think, though, when you consider those 134 goals, let's pick out those three in the World Cup final in 2015. Not only three, but she had them within the first 16 minutes.
Her final home game for Gotham is Sunday at Red Bull Arena. Kevin, you get the point there. All right, the biggest debate every time at this time of year is candy corn any good? Here's Mike Leach weighing in.
No, I have no interest. It's one of those items that, you know, there's a reason they serve it basically once a year because it's not very good to begin with.
Is he right, Woody? Did he convince you?
No. When I was a kid and I got candy corn, I threw it back at the porch. If you want something good, get a Twix, a Snickers, M&M's.
What are you talking about? This is not bad. It was candy corn. It got sugar in it. It got corn syrup in it. It got confectioner's glaze in it. It got yellow 5, red 3. It got some sesame oil in it. Sesame oil is good for you.
You know what? I'd give you the FaceTime, but you're eating. So, Woody, take the point, take the win.
I'm the resident expert here on hiking stories where people get lost. I gave you one a couple of weeks ago about a guy who joined his own search party. Well, over the weekend in Colorado, a guy got lost in the mountains. He overnight couldn't find his way home. The next morning, a search party was sent out for him. They looked for him for 3 hours. Finally, they found him back where he was staying. They said, "We called you all morning." He said, "I don't answer calls that don't have a name on them." So they called him like 15 times. He never answered the phone. What kind of fool is that?
Okay.
Glad he's back.
I'm glad you're okay, Woody.
All right, that's going to do it for me as the host this week. It's a bullpen week on Around the Horn.
I got plenty
Sarah
more left.
Spain is coming into close. Been a blast. Thanks, everybody.
Cool. Looks all right.
Carly Lloyd.
Happy Hour is presented by DirecTV Stream.